this episode of the Fisheries Podcast, I talk with Ryan Hupfeld of the Iowa DNR about the work he is doing on Iowa's large rivers studying paddlefish, sturgeon, and now yellow perch. Thank you for joining me. I am Nick Kramer. This is the Fisheries Podcast, a weekly podcast that shares the stories of the amazing people and projects that make up fisheries science. If you haven't already, follow the podcast on Twitter at Fisheries Pod or on Facebook at facebook.com/fisheriespodcast. Our guest today is Ryan Hupfeld. Ryan is a native of small town Liscomb, Iowa. He attended Hawkeye Community College before enrolling at Upper Iowa University to finish his bachelor's degree. He then attended Southeast Missouri State University, where he earned his master's degree studying paddlefish population dynamics in Missouri's large rivers and reservoirs. Currently, he is a large rivers fisheries research biologist for the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, stationed on Pool 13 of the Mississippi River in Bellevue. Welcome to the podcast, Ryan.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we overlapped by only a handful of months down at SEMO, but your project was somewhat of a prequel to my work with paddlefish. What exactly were you looking at with those Missouri paddlefish?
So there was two parts of the project, looking at some of the reservoir sport fishery as well as a large river, both commercial and recreational fishery, evaluating the length limits. So on the river portion, we collected fish from five different locations, from the Upper Mississippi River, Middle Mississippi River, Lower Mississippi River, the Missouri and Ohio rivers. And what we did was collected some age and growth information to evaluate their growth rates, mortality estimates, so we can input that into some fishing mortality modeling so we can evaluate the regulations, looking at their spawning potential ratio or reproductive potential of the population. So we just evaluated four or five different length limits to see which one would be sustainable to prevent overharvest, because in all of these different states along these river systems, they all have differing regulations, which can be problematic in managing these fisheries. So paddlefish have been documented to move long distances, so we wanted to look at the population as a whole. So looking at these five different locations is a pretty broad scale. And we found that the current regulation in Missouri was insufficient to prevent recruitment overfishing in the population. So we evaluated some differing regulations that other states have put together, and what we found was at least 32 inches was suggested to prevent recruitment overfishing at a conservative level. Moving to the reservoir fishery, it's a little bit different, where they're managing for trophy fishing, so they're looking for these a lot larger trophy fish. And then further, there's very limited reproduction, or was thought to be limited reproduction, in these reservoirs. So we can take their stocking records and input that into a very similar model and evaluate how these differing regulations will affect size structure based on how much harvest there is. And their current regulation of 34 inches seem to be sustainable to provide a decent amount of trophy sized fish for anglers to harvest. However, one kind of surprising result that we came up with was all these fish from the hatchery that were stocked all had a coated wire tag implanted in them. It's just a little piece of wire that they input into the bill of the paddlefish. So we can tell if it was a hatchery fish or if it was naturally reproduced. In Lake of the Ozarks and Harry S. Truman Reservoir, two of the three reservoirs we evaluated, they all had a large or a fair number of fish that didn't have a coated wire tag, suggesting there's a fair amount of reproduction going on. So that could influence the way they manage that fishery in the future, may be able to reduce stocking as well as reduce costs for Missouri as a whole. And I think some of the students are evaluating that now, putting in telemetry tags in the reservoirs to help determine not only exploitation to help input into my models, but also to determine how much reproduction is going on and where they potentially could be naturally reproducing in the system.
And like many graduate student labs, you were able to experience a pretty diverse set of projects. In your case, you were able to do a handful of work with silver carp, American eel, lake sturgeon, and pallid sturgeon. I guess how grateful are you that I showed you my honey hole and helped you catch so many sturgeon?
I don't know about that. I mean, I guess we traded off maybe. I showed you how to catch paddlefish, and you showed me how to catch sturgeon.
I guess we could take that trade. Looking back on it, is there one project that you enjoyed working on more than others, or one that you wish you would have gotten to work on a little bit more?
So, yeah, the paddlefish project was kind of my baby, and that was an awesome experience. But we were very fortunate to gain experience in a lot of different areas, and working on American eels and striped mullets were a pretty unique project that anywhere else I don't think I would have had the chance to get. Striped mullet being mostly ocean or estuary and fish, wasn't definitely not expecting to conduct a project on that. But some other stuff that was very interesting to me was working with microchemistry and evaluating these large-scale movements of these migratory fishes such as paddlefish and sturgeon. I find that very interesting, and then trying to get consistent management with all the states, I think it's very important. So I think a lot of these projects moving forward with large-scale management, I think, can move in a positive direction. I think that's important, and it means a lot to me to be a part of working together and moving fisheries management forward on a large scale, I guess.
And since graduating, you have worked 4 different jobs in 5 years, and now that you're in Bellevue, have you completely unpacked some of those boxes and settled in a little bit?
Yeah, I think I finally landed where I'm going to settle. Northeast Iowa and the Mississippi River is an awesome resource, as well as having the awesome program that they have here with the Upper Mississippi River Restoration Program. They have habitat restoration and enhancement projects that interest me a lot. They really take an ecosystem level approach for that, which I think is important. And what I've seen in my past experience of working on the Missouri River, they're mainly focused on a single species. They kind of limit some of the habitat and work and projects that they do, where the Upper Mississippi River Restoration Program, I think it could be used as a model across the nation or world to implement these habitat projects to not only help with habitat, fish, and wildlife, but also help the users, help increase hunting and angling, which in turn increases money into the local economy, as well as money for conservation. But it also can help the public with reducing flooding, things like that, which we're having a lot of trouble with this year with all the high water and rain. So, yeah, I've moved around a lot the last few years, but it really has given me a broad array of experiences to bring to the Mississippi River, and I'm excited to be here finally.
Would you recommend bouncing around like that to other young professionals, or to just kind of pick one job and sit on it?
Absolutely. I think moving around and meeting different people and getting different experiences is a great idea. Sometimes I wish I would have moved further and seen even the western part of the states or eastern part of the states just to gain more experience. There's actually a job in New Zealand I thought about applying for a few years ago. So I would definitely recommend it. Not only does it give you more opportunities to open up, but it also increases your knowledge and gives you an open mind moving forward into when you do eventually find that permanent job that you're looking for.
One of your stops landed you in beautiful Onawa, Iowa, which was just named the poorest community in the state of Iowa. And you were working on the Missouri River, where you still got to do a little bit of paddlefish work, including continuation of some jaw tagging. Did any of your paddlefish travel the far distances that you mentioned earlier?
Yeah, so actually just last week we had the paddlefish that we got called in that we tagged last year, and it had moved just over 680 river miles. And then the year previous, we had a paddlefish tagged right near Onawa. And in just under a year and a half, it traveled over 1,200 river kilometers below Wren Lake, Illinois, up the Big Muddy River, I believe. So, yeah, it's some cool research that we had going on, and these movements of these paddlefish and other migratory fish, it was very cool to study.
And I was originally going to ask you about your thoughts on the recent flooding and those who accuse the pallid sturgeon of being the reason behind some of that flooding, but I think we'll just leave that question there and let people form their own opinions on it. But nowadays, you don't quite work with the pallid sturgeon as much, but rather its cousin, the shovel nose. And every year, the Iowa DNR conducts a large sampling event on the Cedar River, known as the Rodeo. And since taking over in Bellevue, you've kind of had this data land into your lap. What kind of information is Iowa trying to learn from these Cedar River sturgeon?
It's a really awesome data set that they have collected here. They've been tagging and collecting fish since 2006. So we're able to look at growth over time by using mark recapture methodology. Some preliminary analysis, but Marty Hamill's done a lot of work on this, and typically in the past we've used fin rays to age sturgeon species, but they've been shown to really not be very accurate because they're such a slow-growing fish and the annuli stack on top of each other. So other ways to get at growth and to look at the potential maximum age of the population, we use mark recapture analysis. I'm still working through the data a bit, but these fish are growing a lot slower than we ever anticipated. Once they reach about 550 millimeters, or I think that's around 21 or 22 inches, they only grow 1 to 2 millimeters a year. So you can see a fish from 22 inches, we just caught a fish this year that was just under 34 inches. So at 2 millimeters per year, from 21 to 34, you can see how long that fish would take to get to that size. So kind of mind-blowing to think about how old these fish can be. Currently, the model, I think, is up around 60 years of age, but I'm still working through that data. So management implications for that with the Upper Mississippi River, with these tags, we can look at movement as well. We've had fish move upstream 100 miles and downstream over 200 miles down in Pool 18. We've had one recaptured, and I'm sure they're moving further. These are just from angler recaps calling them in. So with commercial harvest being conducted in the Upper Mississippi River and it potentially providing recruits to the Cedar River and it being a popular recreational fishery and these fish growing older, all that tied together, it could potentially affect the management of the fish. With these fish growing so old and growing so slow, and we need to have regulations in place to protect those mature adults when they reach those mature lengths or ages, so we maintain natural reproduction. And in the Middle Mississippi River, the fishery has actually been closed for shovelnose sturgeon due to the similarity of appearance clause to the pallid sturgeon, federally endangered pallid sturgeon. So with that closure, it potentially could increase harvest of shovelnose sturgeon on the Upper Mississippi River. So continuing to monitor this population, I think, is important considering we know how old they potentially could get now and how slow they are growing.
And in Bellevue, they're also trusting you to work on a new species of fish, the yellow perch. You mentioned a little bit in your emails to me, but I guess I'll just let you explain it all. What are you hoping to find out here?
Yeah, so this goes back to these habitat restoration and enhancement projects that the Upper Mississippi River Restoration Program is implementing. So my predecessor, Kirk Hansen, has conducted a similar study with some trochids looking at crappie and bluegill habitat use in our backwaters. And he determined that overwintering habitat was a limiting factor for these species and really creating subpar fisheries because they couldn't survive the winter. So using telemetry, he tracked fish mainly through winter seasonal months and took various habitat data such as flow and temperature and depth and dissolved oxygen. So we can really narrow down these specific parameters that we can implement into these habitat restoration projects. So that model has actually been used in creating a lot of different overwintering habitats that we're evaluating now, and they've been very successful. So with this yellow perch project, we're going to try and do something very similar, but since it's a larger fish, we're able to track them for an entire year throughout all four seasons. So we're going to be implanting telemetry receivers into 20 fish in a completed HREP project where we know yellow perch fishing has increased, and it's really one of the go-to fisheries in the Midwest now, up in Pool 9. So we're going to follow their habitat and take habitat measurements, what they're currently using in that successful HREP. And then next year, if everything goes well, we're going to move the project down to Pool 13, where they have a proposed project currently. And we're going to monitor their habitat usage in a different pool. And then with the ultimate goal of hopefully implementing these habitat projects, just like bluegill and crappie, did into a model so we can implement these features into these habitat projects so we can help increase angler success as well as have a healthy perch population in the upper Mississippi River.
Are you nervous having to work on a fish that's not a sturgeon or a paddlefish?
It's definitely going to be different, but we'll see. We really have no idea where or how far these fish are going to go. Bluegill and crappie, we had an idea that they went to these backwater areas and really didn't move much. So with the species more related to flow, we're going to see if they move long distances, if it's feasible to track more fish next year. So I'm hoping to double the amount of fish we tag in the second year, but we'll see how it goes. And yeah, it's definitely going to be a change of pace for me not working on sturgeon or paddlefish.
And you're not just confined to the riverbank. You recently had the opportunity to travel over to the United Kingdom and attend one of their fisheries meetings. How was it that you were able to travel overseas, and what was that experience like?
The fisheries management section of the American Fisheries Society, every year they offer a young professional award or early career professional award. It's kind of an international exchange award with the Institute of Fisheries Management in the United Kingdom. I was lucky enough to receive that award this year and go present some of my research at their annual meeting, as well as kind of make it a short vacation for me. I went a week early and explored the country. Paul Colson, I think he's the chair for Institute of Fisheries Management, took me out grayling fishing. While we didn't get a grayling, I caught some England brown trout, so I caught some fish over there, which was cool. But also just seeing a different country, exploring different areas, there's some very cool country out there. And then just learning about their management and management style and how they're different from the United States, what they can and can't do. It's a very different system. It was a very great experience and gives you many different perspectives on what they're dealing with versus what we're dealing with. And what my research had presented on was some microchemistry work on paddlefish that I've captured in grad school. And it was very cool after I got back. I had multiple contacts with people very interested in it because they had actually never even heard of the technique before. Someone from the World Wildlife Fund actually contacted me to see if they could use it over in the Amazon on certain species. So I think the collaboration outside of the United States is important, and it's more important than you might expect, and you gain more things out of it than I expected, that's for sure. So it was a great honor, and it was a very good learning experience and eye-opening experience for me that I took a lot from. So I would encourage all early career professionals to apply for that and get involved in the American Fisheries Society and attend these meetings that you know, you really might not think they're worthwhile, but you really do gain a lot out of them.
And if any listeners think that sounds like a good time traveling over to Great Britain, how would they get involved with that?
On the fisheries management website, they usually have announcements about this award. But if you're able to attend the American Fisheries Society meeting, going to the fisheries management section, business meeting, and gaining those contacts, those individuals, or they have their contact information on their website, I believe, with the current executive committee. Or you can contact me and I can get you in contact with the correct people. There's a early career professional committee that's a part of the fish management section, and they'd be able to direct you to the right people as well.
Well, Ryan, thank you for filling us all in on the work you're doing up there on Iowa's large rivers. But now the tough part of the interview is over, as we are down to the final five questions. And this is a group of five questions I ask each of the guests that come on the show. And we always start real simple with, what is your favorite fish?
Well, I kind of have a soft spot for all primitive fish species, but being that my life was entirely consumed with paddlefish for 2 or 3 years, and them being such a unique species, having the ability to move such long distances, and just all the unique characteristics about paddlefish, I'd have to go with that.
And what is your favorite memory from your career so far?
So one that always comes to mind is the first time we go to Sample Lake of the Ozarks for paddlefish. My supervisor, Dave Herzog, and advisor Quentin Phelps and Sarah Tripp were along. We made it up there late afternoon at 4 or 5 o'clock. We were going to just set nets to see how it would go. maybe leave them set out overnight. So we set four or five nets, and what we didn't expect was to just load the nets full of paddlefish that night, and we were out on the water till 2 or 3 in the morning, pulling fish out of the nets and taking data from them. So it was sore back and late night, but that's really, that's the one that always comes to mind.
And we mentioned earlier that you've kind of bounced around to a few different jobs, but you think you're going to sit still in Bellevue. So this question is, what is your dream job or dream location to work in?
Yeah, I think I actually landed it. I've always loved working on large river systems, and this is one spot that always interested me just because of the program they have in place with the Habitat Project and then the long-term resource monitoring element, having just that huge data set to draw from. I think there's a lot of awesome people who work in Bellevue and up and along the river and all the states connected to it. So I think I landed it, and I got really lucky so early in my career to do that. And I'm able to be fairly open to all research that interests me, as long as it relates to sport fish anglers in Iowa. And I'm pretty lucky.
And we've talked about a handful of the projects you've been fortunate enough to work on, but if money was not an issue, what is one project that you would like to work on?
Oh, one project that I'd like to work on if money. That's a tough one. I guess I would say something important that has really came apparent to me throughout my career working with LTRM is how important that data set is. So I think if money wasn't an issue, you could implement LTRM across all these, even interior rivers or large river systems, and having that long-term data set across, I mean, you could learn so much from the start of the rivers all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. So I think that would be amazing.
Well, you truly are your advisor's pupil. I believe Quentin gave an answer that he wanted to establish at LTRM on the Ohio River. So.
Oh, no. I want a bigger scale than him, though.
The final question, if there is one point or one principle that you could have programmed into everyone's head, what would it be?
I would say working on, at least on large rivers, it's really shown me that working on a large scale is important, and taking the ecosystem approach with the Upper Mississippi River program. They take into all account forests, the floodplain, the fish, all habitats involved, all the flooding, flood control, stuff like that. Working on the Missouri River versus the Mississippi River has really shown me that working on one species really doesn't move the bar forward or move the ball forward that much. Looking at the different projects and progress that's been gained on the Mississippi River versus the Missouri River, it's a totally different atmosphere, and we're making a lot more positive strides as far as fish and wildlife habitat on the Upper Mississippi River. But looking large scale like that, I think you can help not only fish and wildlife, but also increase flood protection and increase local economy for fish and wildlife, fishing and hunting practices as well. So, yeah, I think large scale and on an ecosystem level when taking on a project.
Well, Ryan, thank you again for coming on the podcast today. It was a pleasure hearing about you and the work you're doing along the coasts of Iowa. If people want to find out more information or get a hold of you, what would be the best way to do that?
Probably through my state email at ryan.upfeld@dnr.iowa.gov.
And if you would like to get a hold of me, you can find me on Twitter at FisheriesPod, on Facebook at facebook.com/fisheriespodcast, or old-fashioned email feedback@thefisheriespodcast.com. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. You can download and subscribe to receive future episodes on your favorite listening app, or stream it from Spotify or thefisheriespodcast.com. I am Nick Kramer, and thank you for listening to the 38th episode of the Fisheries Podcast. And remember, working on a large scale and taking an ecosystem approach is important.